This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
We go with sizzle.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's go, go.
Where is that bag?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We saw Justin Jefferson last at the Super Bowl in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Where is that bag?
Where is that bag?
I don't know, man. I'm looking for the bag just like you are.
4 years, $140 million.
Earlier on the show, ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan, NFL Network reporter Stacey Dales. Coming up, actor Ed O'Neill. And now... it's Rich
Eisen.
That's
right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. And Ed O'Neill, one of our favorite guests in the history of this program, he's making a return appearance. I believe it's his third in studio. He's been on the phone as well. He was on the phone with Suze a couple of, was that last year? When I was out of the chair, he phoned in. Suze's in the chair. He enjoyed having a conversation and ended it this way.
So what's up? Is that it?
That it?
That is it. It was like, all right, Ed, and he's like, what?
So what's up? Is that it?
Is that it? He wanted to keep talking.
It's one of my favorite drops.
Keep going. Pretty funny.
He plays Donald Sterling, for crying out loud, FX's Clipped on Hulu, which you can see starting tonight. Debuts tonight. We had Kelly O'Coin in studio yesterday talking about playing Andy Roser, the longtime executive of Donald Sterling. Ed O'Neill's going to be here.
Boom.
That's going to come up about 15 minutes time. I can't wait to get him out. Fun chat last hour with Stacey Dales about what's going on in the WNBA and how everybody's losing their minds. And then in hour number one, Jeff Passan joined us talking Major League Baseball and all the latest there. If you missed it, we re-air on the Roku channel, Channel 210. We're live on this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take your call before the end of the show, I promise. I didn't have a third cup of coffee in the middle of
you
the
did, corner. You didn't go for it? Okay.
I'm okay, though. I'm hanging in there, man. I appreciate your interest.
Yeah.
Looking out for you. Hey, everybody. We started the show by who's not there in Dallas. CeeDee Lamb, he wants a contract. He's not getting it. Somebody else got Pizzade just yesterday. His name's Justin Jefferson. He's got $110 million guaranteed on his contract. That's $10 million more than the guy who threw him the ball last year. His name is Kirk Cousins. He's a quarterback. He's being paid better than a quarterback in the NFL right now. And I guess CeeDee is like, if I'm not on the dotted line, I'm not showing up. Some guys have that opinion, and I get it. Totally understand that. Other guys who are expecting a contract, seeing others getting paid, sometimes will show up. One of them is named Tua Tagovailoa. He's in line to get paid. I told you he's going to get a contract that starts with a five. He will have an annual salary that's in the $50 million range. Tom Pelissero last week came here on Friday, said no quarterback that signs now is going to be in a $40 million club anymore. $50 million. Jared Goff and his latest contract set the market on that front as well. And the Lions got in earlier than others. Why let Tua set the market? Why let the Dolphins set your market if you're the Lions? Set it yourself. So Tua was asked today if, in his mind, The Jared Goff contract is, in fact, a market setter for him and his agent to top.
Do you view those numbers that others get around the league as benchmarks for your negotiations, like Jared Goff getting 53 for you?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The market is the market. If we didn't have a market, then none of that would matter. It'd just be an organizational thing, you know? Didn't matter if that guy got paid that, because it's up to the organization. So that's what I would say. The market is the market. That's it.
Are you confident that a deal will get done before training camp?
I'm confident that a deal will get done. But then again, it's not in my control. You know, it's really up to both sides meeting in the middle with this.
All right. So how would he term it? We're looking for adjectives, too. Looking for adjectives. How would you term your mood or your, I guess, belief in all of this happening? Your disposition. Great word.
You.
Level of concern. How would you term it? We want a word. I want an adjective. We need a thesaurus. A two-a-thesaurus. Okay? We need a two-a-thesaurus for an adjective to describe how you're feeling about this whole thing. Tua, and here is that exchange.
Frustrated where things stand right now?
Not frustrated. I'm another word, but
oh.
Yeah.
Agitated? Annoyed? Bothered?
How about that pause? just wanted to get something done. That's it. Just wanted to get something done.
What was your reaction concerned? To seeing Jalen? Or go ahead, Al.
Concerned? Is that?
Not concerned. Concern's not the right word. That's way off from the word.
Antsy, maybe?
Probably antsy. Yeah. I wouldn't say pissed off. I mean, this is the nature of the beast, right? This is how it goes.
He almost it. Went with it is what it is. I think he was right there. He walked right up to the line of it is what it is, which is definitely an indication of frustration. When you go it is what it is, you're just trying to get out of it.
Yep.
He also did, in fact, pause when I think the word agitated was thrown out there by a member of the media. Annoyed, agitated.
Yeah, that guy was on it. He was peppering him with
and that's when words, Tua paused. That's when he paused. You know, I mean, if you're searching for an adjective for Tua Tagovailoa, is it possible? It could be salty. Is it possible?
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
It's Salty Tua.
I don't think he's salty yet. Perhaps. I think the salt is on the table.
It's ready to be.
There's a contract on the table that he's not satisfied with, and that puts salt on the table. And I don't know if he's ready to start shaking it yet.
Shaking it.
But this is one of those things. This is what happens when you have OTAs in the middle of negotiating periods.
Yep.
This is what happens when you don't, you know, have somebody sign on the dotted line, and he wants to be there with his guys, and he knows that things are going enough in the right direction that he should show up. I'm telling everybody, this guy's going to get paid, and it's going to be a lot of money, and it's going to be a bunch of people saying, is he worth it? And that's going to be part of the conversation. And you're one of them, aren't you? You're one of them.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I wouldn't pay him as much as Jared Goff.
Your team hasn't beaten him yet. Yet. Not yet.
I don't know what that has to do
with because
to
earning, I don't know. You covet
money.
Normally, you covet what you see. The Patriots have not beaten Tua. Belichick is now on the Manning cast without a single win against Tua Tagovailoa, which is kind of something else.
I think that matters 0.0.
Well, I mean, it's results. And you're not getting the results in the playoffs. There was one playoff season he wasn't able to play in it because he was concussed. And they showed last year that the Tua Jitsu, whatever he was able to do, he was able to stay healthy throughout the year. So you check that box. The rest of his defense was what fell apart around him. And Tyreek Hill got hip drop tackled on a Monday night that they lost to Tennessee, which they shouldn't have done.
They had two playoff games last year and lost them both.
Yep.
Which is the Week 18 finale.
Which was essentially a playoff game.
At home to avoid having to play in minus 20 degrees, and they lost that.
Yep.
I'm with you. But what I'm also saying is defensively, they were completely a shell of themselves. And I might be excuse making here because the Bills were too. The Bills were too. The Bills were too.
You think he's better than Jared Goff?
I think he can be as good as Jared Goff.
Not the question.
No. Better, right?
I don't think he's as good as Jared
Goff. I think right now Jared Goff is playing more consistent football. He also plays indoors all the damn time, which I think Tua would look like if he didn't have to go play outdoors.
Plays in South Florida.
I get it.
Well, he's got, still got
you know what I'm saying? Outdoors in cold weather.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Goff's in a perfect environment, literally, figuratively, and so is Tua. He's got the right coach, and they got a guy who can process fast, get rid of the ball fast, with a bunch of guys who can get off the line of scrimmage and beat their man fast. That's the idea. And if you can stay healthy and then play at home instead of having to go on the road, you can be really friggin' dangerous. That's their plan. You got a guy who can scheme it, too. That's their plan. Their plan wasn't, you know, Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb going down. And then having, you know, some sort of Kane mutiny on their hands, apparently, in the defensive meeting rooms. That wasn't part of the plan.
I mean, I get accused of being a Dolphin hater because I'm a Pats fan, but it's just what I see.
I got it.
I mean, I know he's 6-0, but he played well in one game and well-ish in one other one.
The market is the market, as he said. That's why there are markets. It's not just an organizational decision.
Yes, but it can be an organizational decision.
I know. That's true.
It can be.
True. And that's your point, is an organization should make a decision saying, we're not paying you $50 million.
Exactly. All they have to do is say, no, we're not doing this. And then that's that.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tua, here's the offer, $4,160. Take it or leave it.
Guess what? Guess what's not going to happen? Mike White starting for Tua. That ain't happening.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
The thing. There's not
Skylar Thompson, pardon me, with all due respect
man.
To those gentlemen.
Tua led the league in passing. He had 29 touchdowns.
Yes,
like,
sir.
You're not going to find a... That's and the thing. You
do
you're,
it
you
in
have
the playoffs.
To.
You care about the regular season.
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares?
That's the point.
We'll see it. I'd love to see
I
it.
I agree, Chris.
Speaking of that,
thanks, Mike.
Before we get to Ed O'Neill, let's get some positivity in our lives. It is time. We did all four NFC divisions. It's now time to give you the best case scenarios for all AFC East teams entering the 2024 season. Hit it, please. Hit it.
Best case scenario for each NFL team.
Yeah, here we go.
All right, here we go. And we start for the New England Patriots. This is my best case scenario for the Patriots. Drake may get some quality work in at some point, and he's ready to take over this team from Jump Street starting next season. He gets in enough quality time, enough quality work. He wets his beak a little bit or has to wet his beak a lot, and it doesn't overwhelm him. And the defense looks exactly the same. All right? The do-your-job defense, Gerard Mayo's in charge.
Yeah.
It looks the same. Like, that part of the operation is not affected by Belichick's departure.
Yeah, Judon, Barmore, Gonzo. Yeah, everyone looks great.
Correct. And the Patriots win 8 games.
I think that is very rosy and optimistic.
That's what this segment's about.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's their best case scenario.
Drake May plays in December, ready to start week one, 2025. Away we go.
Or if he's forced to play in November or October, it doesn't overwhelm him.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
That's the best case scenario for the Patriots.
Agreed.
All right. The Buffalo Bills. Best case scenario.
Oh, man. It's...
They win the AFC East again. Keon Coleman is Offensive Rookie of the Year. That he just shows up and shows out and takes that wide receiver room by storm.
And gets to deal with Macy.
Josh Allen finishes in MVS. He gets to deal with that. But that's part and part. I think that it comes with it.
That's
right?
Definitely happening.
Josh Allen's a finalist for the MVP. I'm not going to sit here and say he wins the MVP. But, I mean, I'll just throw him in as a finalist. The Bills not only win the Super Bowl, but they beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead on the way to doing it.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, wow.
I like that.
That's their best case scenario.
I like that.
They are the ones to personally end the three-peat opportunity in front of the Arrowhead folks and then go on and win the Super Bowl. When everybody least expects them to finally do it with Josh Allen, they say, our window's not only damn open, we just opened it up and won through it. And bring to Western New York what everybody's been dreaming there for decades.
Allen's been a finalist 3 of the last 4 years, so he's got to win it.
All right. So we'll upgrade it?
Upgrade to win.
Good. Dolphins, best case scenario. They end the Bills' dominance atop the AFC East. They win the AFC East. Tua is an MVP finalist. I'll go there for you. Phillips or Chubb come back to win comeback player of the year? I don't know how healthy they're going to be to actually one, you know, one's got an Achilles, one's got an, you know, a knee. I don't know how they're going to come back or when, but let's just say they do it and they play well enough. They're comeback player of the year, one of those two. And they're the ones who eliminate the Chiefs on the way to winning the Super Bowl. They're the ones who personally end the three-peat opportunity, because to me, that's the best case scenario for every team in the AFC winning the Super Bowl, is that they're the ones to personally end the Chiefs' three-peat opportunity.
Agreed.
They're the ones who play, I guess, the role of the Denver Broncos back in the day when the Patriots last had an opportunity to go three-peat.
Yep.
They're the ones who do that on the way to winning the Super Bowl. So you're going to hear that a lot.
I like it.
As we now talk about best-case scenarios for AFC teams, starting with the AFC East. Now the final one for the New York Jets.
Here, coach.
Aaron Rodgers becomes the first player in NFL history to win comeback player of the year, most valuable player of the regular season, and most valuable player of the Super Bowl in the same season.
Wow.
He dominates in exactly the way Jets fans hoped that he would when he came from Green Bay and only played four snaps. Comeback player of the year, MVP, and Super Bowl MVP in the same season. And just to put a cherry on top, Breece Hall is offensive player of the year to boot. That he shows up and he shows out and he becomes the Christian McCaffrey, if you will, of the Jets, while Rodgers not only stays healthy, but wins comeback player of the year, MVP of the regular season again, and Super Bowl MVP, just like he did for Green Bay. And the Jets go down the canyon of heroes and nobody gets fired. And if you want to say that somebody's going to wind up being happy in Jets fandom, best case scenario for these folks is that Trump wins for Woody Johnson, RFK wins for Aaron Rodgers, and Biden wins for Larry David. And somebody's going to be happy.
Everybody's happy.
For best case scenarios. So and those are my best case scenarios for the AFC East teams.
Nice.
Just to weave a little bit out of my lane before veering back into it.
That's fun.
Let's take a break. Ed O'Neill, people.
Oh, yeah. Woo.
Let's get him out. We're going to do it live. Ed O'Neill in advance of FX's Clipped on Hulu.
Hello.
Let's welcome the man who plays Donald Sterling to the stage. Man, the Hoops Finals are right around the corner. How cool would it be to go to one of those games? You might even be thinking that right now. And if you are, I've got the solution for you. Game Time makes getting finals tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off. You get killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, meaning no surprises on the final cost. Views from your seat, which means no surprises on your view of the court. The lowest price guarantees also there from Game Time, which takes the guesswork completely out of buying basketball tickets, certainly when it's the biggest event around for hoops, the finals. Take the guesswork straight out. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account and redeem my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. Ed O'Neill is here on the Rich Eisen Show with our television audience, now back with our radio audience together. Just showed a great clip from FX's Clip, which premieres today exclusively on Hulu. And it's just, I'll be honest with you, you look just like the guy and you sound like him, Ed. I mean, how much were you watching Donald Sterling tapes and things of that nature for
this
role?
You know, I don't do much of that. It was sort of like... you know, first of all, I was a little hesitant to do it.
Right.
How
so? Just because?
Well, I remembered when it happened, like everybody. I was in L.A.
Right.
And I don't follow pro basketball that much. Peripherally, I do. You know, I watch Sports Center.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, this is a strange story. And when the tapes came out, I believe I heard them.
Yep.
And I thought, well, this is not going to go well. You know?
Yes.
And then when I got the call that they said they wanted me to play Sterling, you know, these years later, I thought, geez, I don't know about this one, you know. But I read the script. Gina Welsh wrote the script.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know Gina, but I knew she had come up with David Milch, who I had done a lot of work with. So I knew that that would be a good thing.
Sure.
And then, though, I said, I think I'm going to pass. I believe I'd said that. And then they said, would you have lunch with her? You know how they do that. You have lunch with her. And I thought, I don't want to go down that road because I know where that leads.
Which means
do it. I almost have to have lunch with her because of Milch, who I really feel I owe a lot to.
What'd you do with Milch?
I did two series that didn't make it. Big Apple in New York and John from Cincinnati.
John from Cincinnati, which is what he did after Deadwood.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I said I'd have lunch with her. So I was driving over to the restaurant and I was already writing my exit speech, you know, as politely as I could put it together.
Right.
And then because I never met her, and I sat down and we were talking about every other thing, you know, as you do. And then I think she said something like, well, I really hope that you're considering it. And I said, oh, I'm doing it.
Wow, what a backtrack.
And I said it, and I'm thinking, my brain is saying, what did you just say? But this is how my mind works, unfortunately. So I didn't want to disappoint her, and I think I wanted to challenge myself.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think sometimes I know I do, certain roles, and you don't really use a whole lot of your engine. You know, it's more or less 70% or maybe 65,
mm-hmm.
And I thought this one is going to be 100 all the way through.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's why I did it.
I'm sure. And again, we're just showing photographs of, you look just like him. It is eerie. It is kind of remarkable how.
There's a progression too that I like, because I've seen them all, and I like it. I like it.
Yeah,
I think, a great cast around. I mean, not around me.
No. I just Jackie Weaver is playing your wife in this, and she looks just like
and sounds just like Shelley.
Shelley Sterling,
really,
right?
For me, I just tried to get. I heard him interviewed, and I thought, well, I want to have a kind of pedantic delivery, you know, ing endings and
mm-hmm.
a kind of whine, a little bit of a whine.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. But she's like spot on.
Because he is just, he's a real SOB. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
I never met him.
Neither have I. But I mean, I just, you know,
oh, yeah.
having followed the sport and obviously know intimately the stories now. I mean, and, you know, we were just going back and forth here. I mean, you don't usually play a heel very often.
Not like that.
When was the last time? Like, we were going back to like Little Giants.
Ed, yeah, I mean, you know? He was kind of full of himself, but he was right. Had a good heart.
Sure.
No, normal. There's no other roles like this. There's very few.
Right.
Like Donald Sterling. So that was obviously my hesitation. You
sure,
know?
Right.
But, I thought, you know, Jackie Weaver is sort of the Meryl Streep of Australia, and
mm-hmm.
Lawrence Fishburne I knew from New York. And when I was in New York.
In New York, just living
yeah,
there? And
yeah, I was in his apartment. We, you know, we kicked it around a little bit.
This is pre-moving out west?
Oh, yeah. Pre-moving out to L.A.
Pre-married with children and all
oh,
that
yeah.
business? But you just knew him as just a fellow actor in New York City?
Yeah, you know, just theater stuff. And, you know, I never worked with him, but, we had mutual friends. And
it's amazing how that works.
It is.
That's pretty cool.
It really is.
Ed O'Neill here on the Rich Eisen Show. Are there any similarities playing Donald Sterling and Al Bundy in any way, shape, or form?
I don't know. I hope not, but, you know, it's the same guy, you know, I mean.
How so?
I'm saying it's being done by the same guy.
Ah, okay.
So it's sometimes, you know, you may fall into something that says, oh, that sounded like, kind of like the other guy, you know.
Did you have a moment like that?
Oh, yeah, I always have. I forget what it was, but you have those little moments. And usually they're in a take, and then you do another take, and you try to take it out. You know, because it's not appropriate. And but I also used the voice of a guy that, I guess it was a combination of a guy that was my roommate at OU, who had pitched short relief for the Pirates later.
Uh-huh.
And his dad was, I mentioned him to you once before, I think, Sammy Angott.
Yeah.
Who was lightweight champ of the world, Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
His son was Sammy, my roommate. And he had a kind of way of speaking, like, you know, hey, what are you doing? He had this kind of whiny kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I was well aware of that, and it was sort of easy to fall into that.
While doing Donald Sterling, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, because it's this, you know, who cares?
But did you have like a moment where you slipped back into Al Bundy as playing Donald Sterling? That moment sort of happened?
Yes, I mean, I think it's easy to do. You know, there's not... I don't think I did it a lot.
Okay.
I don't think I did, but others may say no, you know.
Yeah, because like when you told the story, you were here in your first appearance here like 8 years ago about how you got that role, you kind of like slipped right back into his voice.
Oh, did I? Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Did.
When you talked about how you based him on being
my uncle.
Yeah, because he was resigned.
Oh,
word that you used.
You know, I don't know if I told you this because I only found out about this recently.
Okay.
Through a book that Richard Gurman wrote. He was one of our producers, about the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know a lot about that. I mean, this is a month ago I read this.
About Married with Children.
Yeah,
okay.
About the making of it and the whole thing. I was thinking that Diller wanted Katie, but he didn't want me.
Mm-hmm.
Diller was Murdoch's right-hand guy.
Yeah.
And he just thought that they could do better, you know, because they never heard of me.
Mm-hmm.
I was a dramatic actor, as far as they were concerned.
Yes.
From New York and unknown. So they were putting a lot of money in this show. And they said, this guy, who is he?
Mm-hmm.
He's not a comedian. He's not funny. He's not. So they were desperate because they were a week away from shooting. So they said, we really want him. And Murdoch said, Diller said, do what you want, and left and went back to Fox. And so they started to make arrangements to cast me. And then apparently he called and said, did you get rid of O'Neill? And they said, no, you told us we could do what we want. He said, I didn't mean it. So as the story goes, he said, well, it's bought for 12. It's now one.
One episode?
We're paying for the pilot. If this thing doesn't kick off, this will never see the light of day. If you hire this guy.
And you just found that out a month ago?
Yeah. And they didn't tell me. And so we shot the pilot under those pressures for everybody else. I didn't know about it, you know. But there was enough pressure.
Yeah.
But then apparently he said, okay, you know, afterwards. And then I think it was six. And then, it went from there. It went 11 years. But I ran into him at one of these awards thing. I think I was doing, I don't know what I was doing, but I ran into him.
Barry Diller?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I had also had little dealings with him when I did the movie Dutch, which was very funny.
Yes.
And he said, I made a mistake about you. And I said, we all make them. That's all I said. But the story that's funny about him, when they signed me up for Dutch and I shot it, then it was the holidays were coming up, and you know, they do this. They had this idea to go on a bus and truck tour through the South over the Christmas holidays, like Little Rock, you know, small towns, to promote the movie.
Yeah.
And I said, geez, it's over Christmas. You know, you're going to take me and the kid on a bus. And they said, yeah, it's a wonderful idea. And we can really, you know, they do that. So I said, I don't know. And they said, come to the commissary and we'll have lunch tomorrow. And I did. And there were 15 people at the table, all, you know, trying to sell this idea. And I think, well, I guess I got to do it. I was having the contract checked if I had to do it.
Right.
And along comes Diller. He's walking, you know.
Yeah.
And he comes over to the table and says, hi, hi, hi. And they're afraid of him, you know, terrified of him. You know, his head, he looks like a rattlesnake, right? So he looks at me and he says, I saw the movie the other night. It's good. I liked it. You're good. I said, thanks, Barry. So what are you here for? So the one says, well, we're thinking about, you know, bus and truck tour for Mr. O'Neill and to go through the South. He said, it's the worst, I can't swear, right?
Yeah, no.
It's the worst blanking idea I ever heard in my life. A bus and truck tour. Looks at me, you want to do this? I said, not really. He said, no, worst idea I ever heard. And he walked away. Now, we hadn't even got our Cobb salads yet. There was no more conversation.
Over.
Nothing. Nothing. Just glasses and tinkling and...
Save you your bus tour. There was no Dutch bus tour. You know, it's kind of funny, too, is that some people sometimes think when he would originally say, I don't want Ed O'Neill for the Al Bundy role. It's your funeral, I think is the words that you use.
No, he said it's your funeral to them.
Right, to them, right. And but that would be taken as, okay, thank you. You've now delegated the responsibility and decision to us. He took it to mean you should now fire him.
Fire him.
And they didn't, and they cut the pilot order from 12 down to 1, and it lasts 11 years.
And, you know, honestly, you couldn't blame him for being hesitant about me because he didn't know who I was. They didn't know a thing about me.
Right.
So
who knows? You know, it's funny. We had Eric Stone Street here a few months ago, and he told a story about Modern Family and how you guys had never really met before.
Right.
You shot the pilot.
Right.
And he's driving along with his friend.
Oh, right.
And he hadn't heard a word yet about whether this show was going to get picked up, and you called.
Yeah.
And you told him, you remember this conversation from your point of view?
I called him. I had seen it. I saw the show because I watched it after they all did. For some reason, I was working somewhere else.
Okay.
I came back and I had to go to the Fox lot, Levitin and Lloyd's office, and they put me in a room by myself. And they put the tape in. The guy walked out and shut the door.
Yeah.
So I watched the pilot, and then he came back in, you know, timed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, would you play it again? I want to watch it again. Okay, played it again. I watched another 22 minutes, you know.
Yes.
Watched it again, and I said, okay, thank you. So I went out, and I was driving around, and I called a few people in the cast, but I called Eric. And he was driving around with his buddies, I think, in the car or something. And I said, Eric, well, you know how he imitates me. And I said, I just screened the pilot. He said, oh? You know, Eric was pantomiming things. He was doing mime in some garage in Encino. And he said, you're great in this. He said, oh, thank you. And I said, if this show doesn't run 10 years, I shouldn't be in Hollywood. I shouldn't be out here at all. 10 years, you're going to be buying houses with this thing. Wow. And he was, oh, you know, you can imagine.
Yeah.
He thought from me, and now I'm not sure, but he thought it was like, you know, some kind of prophecy.
Okay, confirm. He and by the way, it was.
Yeah, it was. It was because when I saw the pilot, and I've been wrong before, Rich.
Sure.
About things. You know, we all are.
Right.
But when I saw the pilot, and I think I had run into Eisen, Bob, and he said, this is the best pilot I've seen in, I think he said 10 or 20 years. So I knew, you know, it was...
That was it.
I knew it. It was like... I knew it from the time I read it.
It was that good on the page, is what you're saying.
It was that good on the page. I said, this is a hit. And it went to... why can't I remember his name? I thought of it this morning. The actor that they offered the part to. Not me. You know, he played Coach.
Oh,
the
Craig
series.
T. Nelson?
Three names.
Craig T. Nelson.
Yes, Craig. Yeah. And because Craig and I were up for a lot of things over the years, you know, we're similar. And so when I, because I had the meeting with those guys, Lloyd and Levitan, a year before, they hadn't written it yet. And they pitched the idea. And they said, would you be willing to, like, get involved now? And I said, no, I don't want to do a sitcom. Didn't they tell you that? And I said, well, it's, you know, they try to talk me into, it's not for camera. There's no audience.
Right.
Because I don't like an audience in a sitcom.
Even while you were doing Married with Children?
It's no good. It's no good. Because you got four cameras and the audience behind them.
Right.
And they're there to see you. But the cameras now are in the way. So they have the screens, but they don't know where to look. So often they laugh at the wrong time. They blow jokes, you know.
Okay.
That was my thing. But so where was I going with this?
You said that you didn't want to do a sitcom and they still wanted you to be this role.
So they were very nice. And I respected. The reason I was there was I knew what they had done.
Sure.
You know, Frasier, Golden Girls, Just Shoot Me. So a year later, I got the script in the mail and it was a different name, different title. And then I saw their names and I said, oh, this must be that show. So I read it and I thought, oh, no, I got to do this. I didn't realize it was not an offer. And I called my manager and I said, Mark, I think I have to do this. And he said, too late. Out to Craig T. Nelson. I said, oh, okay, well, I'll watch it. It's going to be a good show. And then a week later, he called and said, they're back to you. Because Craig T., understandably, passed because it was only one show. And those guys like Craig, you know, he wanted some upfront money, like pay me for six.
Sure.
And I'll do your one. And if it doesn't make it, no hard feelings. Well, that's the way it goes. So he must have passed, assuming they'd come back to him. But I guess somebody wanted me for the part. And they said, they're back to you. And I said, make the deal. And he said, you're not the star. I said, I know. He said, you're not paying your quota. I said, I don't care. It's a hit. We'll get even later, and then we'll get ahead. And I was right.
You sure were.
Wow.
No doubt about that.
Craig T. fired everybody connected to him. After. No, I'm
just kidding. No, it's just Ed O'Neill here.
I don't even know what the story was.
Before I let you go, I think I saw a clip of you telling a story, because you've also told us here about how you – you know, you were at the Steelers and Chuck Knoll's first year and he cut you.
Yeah.
And that you had a recurring dream about this?
Yes. I never told you that.
No.
Do you know why? Well, no, I did remember that. But, okay. You want me to tell it real quick?
Sure.
All right. It was, I got cut. I was 23 years old.
Yeah.
And then every year after that, I would have a recurring dreams. At least twice a year, I'd have the same dream. And I was back in camp, in uniform, on the sidelines, a scrimmage going on. An assistant coach comes by and says, you're in the next series, O'Neill. I said, okay, coach. I go in. And I was remember in the dream, I'm thinking, I've got another shot. I knew I had been here before. Every year. The only difference was I was always in the dream the age I was at that time. So it cut to the last time I had the dream.
Yeah.
Same scenario exactly. O'Neill in next series. Okay, coach, here's where it stopped. Hey, coach, you may not know it, but I'm 75 years old. You look great. Go on in. You'll be all right. I said, no, I don't think so.
Great.
And I walked off the field. Now I never had the dream again. I should have been seeing a shrink. Because it was 23 to 75.
Ed, I mean, so you basically, you retired from your own recurring dream of being a Pittsburgh Steeler?
Yes, I retired myself.
So Chuck Knoll retired you in real life.
In real life.
By saying, give me your playbook.
Exactly.
In 1969.
Which I did give him.
Which you did, in fact, do that, starting your incredible career as an actor. And then you retired from the recurring nightmare on your own
doing. Now, I'll tell you I don't know what to describe it. There was something else in that conversation with Knoll and I that I forgot.
In real life?
In real life.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how this happened because, I'm not going to go into this other little thing. It's not worth it. When I had that conversation with Chuck Knoll, and you know, they're always so nice to you, you know, when they're cutting you, you know, they They don't want you to pull out a knife. So he said, listen, I was on the phone today with Coach Kulherek with the Eagles.
Yeah, right. Sure.
And they need linebackers. And if you want, we'll rent you a car here. You know, we're at St. Vincent's College. You can drive up the PA Pike to Philly, and they'll give you a very good look. But you have to tell me right now, because they have to fill the spot. You know, we'll have to call them, let them know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, right now. He said, yeah. And I sat there for maybe, you know, I didn't want to wait too long, seconds. And I said, no, I'm done. And I remember him saying, you're done? And I said, yeah, I'm done. I want to try something else. He said, oh, what? I said, I have no idea. But not this. Now, I never told that story. I forgot that. I didn't remember it.
Right.
And it came up to me just lately that that was said. And it must have been I was ashamed of it, that I actually quit before I was actually done. I mean, I was done. But I did have another shot that I turned down.
Maybe you just knew it that you know, I'm not cut out for it deep down in the same way.
I think that was it.
Oh, and maybe in the same way that, you know, just to kind of bring it full circle, that you went to lunch with the writer of Clipped and you're like, yes, I'm not doing it, and then all of a sudden just came out of you like, of course I'm gonna do it.
It was like that. And the funny thing was, I don't think I regretted it even after that.
Yeah.
But something in the subconscious kept working on me. You know, it's interesting how that works.
Can I get one more segment out of you to take us to
course.
The top of the hour? Okay. Ed O'Neill is going to stick around with us right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Clipped, FX's Clipped, available on Hulu starting tonight. And you can catch episodes right here on Roku. Back with Ed O'Neill for taking us to the end of the show in a sec.
That's it.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Ed O'Neill is here on the program. One last thing as well. Stone Street was here talking about how, you know, it was entirely possible to have a spinoff of Modern Family with his character, you know, and
yes, and Jesse
as well.
Yeah, Jesse's phenomenal. Both of those guys are.
Is there any chance we can get one more bite at the apple here, where everybody gets back together? What do you think?
I don't think so.
You don't?
I don't think so. I'm not real big on the reboot things.
I mean, just even if it's just one like holiday special, you know what I mean? Like a holiday yeah, special with the Pritchetts.
I do that. I mean, I'm not, you know, if they came to me with that, I'm not going to say, oh, I'm not doing it.
Right.
I do it. You know, like I do. No, I'm not doing it. No, I think I will.
Just take them to lunch. Yeah, just take me to lunch.
Free lunch.
Cobb salad.
A Cobb salad with a little bacon. That's it.
And they say yes.
You know, free food.
I would love that. You know what I mean? Just to see what everyone's up to one more time.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, that would be fine. You know, that's not in my wheelhouse.
My oldest son has watched the entire Modern Family start to finish twice.
You know what I say about that show, Rich? It was so well made. Those guys really know how to make a show.
Yeah.
And the writing was just, I think, top notch.
Consistent.
I mean, the writing.
Every episode was.
I mean, really, it was. You know, if you don't have that, you don't have a show.
Right. Do you have just a recollection again of what your favorite Al Bundy line was?
My favorite Al Bundy line. Oh, my God.
So many.
I'll tell you what it was. No, it wasn't, but this came to mind.
Okay, sure.
Like, again.
Okay.
It just popped in. It was, Peg was complaining to me at the table how she had not had an orgasm in, I don't know, 6 months or 5 months. Haven't had one, Al. Haven't had one. You believe that? 6 months. And then repeated that several times, a little louder each time. And I looked at her and said, way to get one, Peg. That's funny, isn't it?
That's the one?
Well, it's funny because it's so horrible a situation to find yourself in. You know, that you. What are you going to do after that, you know? What's your choice then? What's your option, Rich? Is it, let's go to bed and now and I'm going to make it all up to you? No. Probably not.
Oh my God! There's so many moments when you. When was the last time you've watched them married with children?
Well, every now and then, you know, they rerun so much, and you're channel surfing.
Yeah,
and then I can. I remember them. You know, it was 265 shows.
Yes,
but I'll watch and go, oh, I like this one. You know, and I'll watch it, and I forget a lot of it. I forget a lot of them, and then when I watch it, I find myself. You know, there was another one where I was on the couch with Bud.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just, my Dodge had quit running. And I think he was mourning the loss of his Dodge on the couch. And he said, and the kid's sitting next to him, his son. And he's crying about the Dodge. I love that, you know, I'm not going to do it. I love that car more than anything in the world.
Right.
And the kid's like saying, well, but what about me, Dad? And I'm like, you need a Q-tip? You know, I just said it. Now it's so wrong, but it's funny, right?
That's basically that you just described all of Married with Children. It's wrong, but it's funny.
Here's another one.
Yeah,
here's another one. I wanted him to join our bowling team because we lost somebody down to, you know, sick or something, and we had a big tournament, and we just needed a body. So we tried to recruit Bud, and he wouldn't do it because he had been humiliated before trying this. Don't do my stuff. And so I realized I was in a corner and he was not going to do it. And I said, remember, son, that time when you tried out for Little League and you didn't make it and you came home crying and I told you it was okay. You tried and that's all that counts. You remember? They said, I do, Dad. I do. I said, well, I lied. You disgraced me then and I'm disgraced. It remains to this day. I was humiliated. I was not so, again. Some people don't find that funny, though.
Well, yes. But you have to understand when you're flipping on Married with Children, what you get.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right.
You're understanding the world into which you're entering.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, you should be forewarned.
And that's kind of why I asked if there's any similarity between Married with Children and obviously playing, you know, Donald Sterling.
Because
you
have to know. About it,
but you have to know when you're turning on this show what world you're entering.
Exactly.
Here,
you know? Exactly. And that's right. But I remember Michael Moye, who was one of the creators and producers, he used to say, in the criticism of that going over the line and stuff, he said, look, if you're watching a sitcom to learn something, you're in trouble. We only want to make you laugh.
Yeah, Al Bundy wasn't Mr. Chips. No. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
he's definitely the last guy you want to learn a life lesson from.
But he was serving a sentence. he was bravely serving a sentence. Because his life ended after high school.
After his four touchdowns in one game.
That was it.
Yeah, he scored four. I mean, what is there to do after that?
Yeah, nothing.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
I need to see Al dole out grandfatherly advice. That would be amazing.
Now we're talking.
Reboot.
FX's Clipped premieres today exclusively on Hulu. You can watch FX's Clipped on Hulu right here on Roku. You are, sir, one of my favorites. Thank you for coming down
here. Thank you, Rich. Really appreciate you are one of mine.
Ed O'Neill, everybody, right here on the show. That will wrap up this edition of The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, guys, welcome to the Candy Valentino Show. I'm Candy Valentino. I was a founder before I could legally order a drink. And for more than 2.5 decades, I've built, scaled, acquired, and exited multiple businesses in diverse industries. Now my goal is to help you by sharing the knowledge that I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, and the wisdom that I've developed over my journey. Bi-weekly episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Candy Valentino Show, wherever you listen.